Nebraska. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Morning Hookup. Bill Huff's Will Wilson. Get with it, Will. Go.
What's going on, Hooks?
What's up? Tuesday. Cloudy Tuesday. Cold, cloudy Tuesday.
Nothing new.
It is definitely the March sign. You know what that means when you look outside today?
What are you talking about?
It means Nebraska baseball is their opening home game today.
Oh, because it's cloudy.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
4:05 today at the ballpark.
The home opener.
Home opener.
It's exciting.
It could turn into a doubleheader. They don't know yet, by the way.
What are you talking about?
Because the weather tomorrow might impact the game. They're supposed to play back-to-back days against Northern Colorado. Coach Mike Anderson coming back to town. They're saying it could be a doubleheader based on what the weather report is for tomorrow because it looks like some rain.
Well, so Coach Anderson finally comes back to town and he's starting to run things, trying to get things his way.
Apparently. But it could happen.
What's up with that?
It could happen.
So what, it's supposed to be rain tomorrow?
Yeah, it's calling some rain. Rain, snow on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Snow on Thursday. If you look at all kinds of reports, who knows? 1 to 3 inches possible.
Home opener, it's exciting stuff.
They're saying over the next 48 hours, you could see 3 inches of snow in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Really? Here today?
In the next 48 hours, next 2 days.
Oh.
Thursday is where they're really talking about some winter mixed precipitation possible. 1 to 3 inches of snow possible.
Well, Nebraska baseball coming off that big weekend. Hopefully they can build off that.
Big weekend. So 4 or 5 today, if you are going out there, bless you, and warm. Dress warm.
Yeah, these are
definitely dress warm.
The early home games aren't ever warm, but they
never
they're fun.
Warm.
They're fun.
Never fun. I don't know if that's fun.
Well, it would be fun if they were serving beer, which I don't think they are.
They're messing that up, aren't they?
Yeah, you
total miss.
You get PBA, but you didn't get Haymarket Park. How does that work?
You get at least 100 more people out there if you're serving beer.
It's exactly right.
Be cold.
Uh-huh.
Hand warmers, beer.
Exactly.
Hot dogs, popcorn.
Hey, we're
Let's
not.
Go.
We
Seeds.
Don't make the rules.
Nope. If we did, we'd be enjoying some
Look
beer.
Out. Look out.
Yes, we would. So welcome, man. We got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk Big Ten hoops. Tournament starting soon. Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow. There's a slate of college basketball today.
Big Ten tournament. Doesn't that start today?
Is it today? Is it Tuesday? No, it's Wednesday. We start on Wednesday. Today's Tuesday. ACC starts today.
Oh, I thought today was Wednesday.
ACC starts today. The West Coast Conference, they have their final today. They have their final today. It's St. Mary's and Gonzaga to get the automatic qualifier in the tournament there.
Going to be a great game.
Yeah, Big Ten starts tomorrow. ACC play starts today. So a lot of that. We're going to go through our bracket. Will and I picked the bracket. And we're going to lay something on the line for this.
Mm-hmm.
Overall record within.
And I think I know what I want to put on the line, but we'll get to that in a second.
Also, in about 15 minutes, Brian Munson, HuskerLane.com. The roller coaster of emotions of Dylan Raiola.
Dylan Raiola.
Yeah, we're talking about that.
We always got to get our Dylan Raiola update.
It's an emotional roller coaster for Nebraska fans right now.
It is.
It's an emotional roller coaster, but we'll talk with him about that and a whole lot more. Coach Rule spoke yesterday. Also, Thomas Fedoni spoke. A lot of us didn't know what his voice sounded like, I don't think.
I didn't.
But he spoke. He spoke yesterday, and then we'll go through some stories that we missed throughout. There's a lot. NFL, there's a lot. A
lot of NFL stuff. Yeah. A
lot of NFL stuff. Also, you had Dart League last night. If you guys don't know, we talk about Will's adventures down at the tavern on a weekly basis, whether it be bags or whether it be his Dart League, or if he's just down there slinging drinks. You guys, if you're listening and you're in that world, go see him. Okay? He's making his way. But last night, it's an ongoing battle with you and these intramural sports that you're playing.
It is. And
it's a love-hate, isn't it?
I really don't want to talk about it, but you're bringing it up, so I kind of have to talk about it.
People have to know who we are, and this is who you are. Monday nights, you're at the tavern, and you're playing a sport.
Sport, darts, yeah.
Sport.
Yeah, exactly, every Monday. And we're not a good team, me and my partner.
Is there tension in the team now?
No, not at all.
No
we're,
tension,
we're,
okay.
We're having a great time.
Okay,
no you know,
tension.
That's no problem.
It's just the losing mounts.
Oh, yeah, we got 5-0'd again last night.
Oh, my goodness. 5-0? Do you have to play all five?
You have to play all five. And we lost every single one. These guys were hitting triple 20s like somebody put a gun up to their head and said, if you don't hit 12 triple 20s, I'm going to kill you. And I swear to God, that's what it was like, because I think they hit 13 last night, Hooks. Our opponents did.
Head down at that point, you're just like, well, maybe you just chalk it up to like a one of those nights. They had it, you didn't.
That seems to be every single night.
Were they close at all? Not even close then?
No, really. Most games were not close. So we could keep recapping Dart Night on Mondays if we want, but it's turning out to be the same thing every single day.
We are, because we're going to celebrate when you break the ice and get that goose egg off there.
God, is it bad. We weren't even last place yet, and I think we are after yesterday.
That'll 5-0-05 will put you way back.
Yeah, well, it's a common theme for
insurmountable.
Us. Yeah.
We call that.
Anyways, thanks for asking, by the way.
I'm always there. Yeah, if you guys have suggestions how he can change the mojo, tweet at us at CaptainHooks33, at Willie on the radio. He's open to ideas.
Yes.
Okay?
I am.
We're going to kick this thing off. By the way, first of all, before we get to picking our bracket, the latest projection, if you go follow Robin Washett with Husker Online, there's in everything. The NIT bracketology, it's not just March Madness bracketology, but it's NIT bracketology. And if you haven't seen the latest for Nebraska, the projections, again, we're talking projection, how much fun this could be in the storylines within this projection. It right now, they have Nebraska in a bracket in one of the regions as a 4 seed hosting Villanova.
What?
Hosting down at PBA.
That is so surprising.
Be awesome.
That is very surprising.
Awesome. But if they were to, let's just say that happened, you get a powerhouse, a blue blood in your backyard in Villanova. Obviously, Jay Wright not there anymore, and what he did such a great job at Villanova. But within that bracket, there's another team. Let's just say this happens, and we were to win, and this other team were to win. San Jose State is in that bracket, projected in that bracket.
So Mr. Tim Miles would be coming back to
Lincoln.
You
wouldn't know what to do with yourself, would you?
Me? I mean, I would be...
Would you bring your book to the game?
I think I would bring the book to the game, and as he's walking out of the tunnel, I would, like, show him the book. I would, like, open it up.
Coach, welcome home.
Yeah.
Glad you took an L, but still, I still love you.
How about that? That's what the NIT does. I just want to get storylines. Try to get Tim Miles back to Lincoln to play a good basketball game. You knew it was going to happen at some point, and this is the best chance for it to happen. I mean, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. Place, you know... Number one, I'm very surprised to see that we're hosting. That seems, I thought, totally out of the picture. But hey, here we are. And by the way, this John Templin guy, he's the guy who's putting out this bracketology. I don't know who he is, but Robin apparently goes off him, so that's incredible.
Yeah, we trust Robin.
We trust Robin. So, I don't know, hosting, if we do host, that would be incredible. And you know PBA would be just rocking because fans want to see this team play in the postseason.
Yeah.
Does that change if we lose on Wednesday? Maybe.
Yes, I do believe it could change a little bit from the hosting perspective. I am one sitting here still believing that we are in the NIT.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I think 500 gets us in, especially if we're one game above 500.
And a lot of
times, are we one or two games?
One game above. You would be 500 if you happen to lose tomorrow.
If we're one above 500 and we're hosting, then 500 should not bump you down.
It might. A loss to the 14 seed could do that to you.
I know. Bump you down from hosting. I think you're in the NIT no matter what.
Absolutely. I think you're in. So we'll have a lot of fun watching that, those projections. And as Nebraska will start their journey tomorrow, sometime around 8 o'clock in the Big Ten tournament. Which leads us to this. Will and I picked brackets. We took brackets. We got them printed. And we're going to go through a bracket and see who we have as a champion. You gave away your champion yesterday, so we'll see how the path of success and how they get there.
Okay.
You got the opening matches tomorrow.
Opening games? What are you laughing at?
Matches.
Old man matches.
Seriously. Ohio State, the 13 seed, would take on Wisconsin at 5:30. And then 25-30 minutes after that, Minnesota, Nebraska. I'll tell you this. I took Ohio State to beat Wisconsin tomorrow.
You did?
Yeah. Ohio State.
I didn't. I took Wisconsin.
And that'll put Wisconsin clearly out of the tournament.
All right, so you're going to Ohio State. I'm going to Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're
going
to move on to beat Iowa. And also, I think we both probably did this. We both take Nebraska.
I took Nebraska.
Yeah, I took Nebraska to go play Maryland.
We beat this Minnesota team twice. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think we ultimately come out with the win.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I mean, I went pure off just having fun with the bracket. I didn't do any research. You did a little bit.
Yeah.
Tuesday, they'll kick off early in the morning, 11 o'clock. On
Tuesday?
Thursday. Sorry, geez, I'm going backwards. Thursday. Got me all mixed up now. Thursday, 11 o'clock, BTN. Number nine, Rutgers. Number eight, Michigan.
Both
these teams, by the way, are playing for their tournament life.
Yeah, and out of both these teams, Rutgers is playing the worst basketball. I mean, they have not been good.
Nope.
These past few weeks. So agree. I'm going Michigan.
I got Michigan, too. They're going to go play Purdue in that one.
Yep.
The following match after that, 30 minutes after that on BTN, you get Ohio State, Iowa.
That's who you have.
Yes.
I have Wisconsin, Iowa.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Wisconsin to upset Iowa and move on to the quarterfinals.
Good, because I'm taking Ohio State to upset Iowa to move on.
Wow. You and I are
Michigan
both,
State.
We're both not on Iowa.
No. No.
I have a better reason, because Wisconsin has beat Iowa twice this year.
Well, look at you.
So I'm taking Wisconsin over Iowa.
I don't know what Ohio
Iowa.
State's done against them. They've even played them. But I don't like Iowa. Penn State, Illinois will be the third game, game five of this tournament.
I'm taking Penn State.
You are? I'm taking Illinois.
I think Penn State is playing really good basketball these past few weeks. I like teams going into this thing that are playing good. So, yeah, with that being said, give me Penn State.
What's fun about what we're talking about is the one, you're looking at matchups. You can go back and do research, see how they do it throughout the season. But there's other factors in this, and that we can look at. Illinois securely in the tournament. But I still like Illinois here on this one. Penn State is on the last four bye line. Could they be out?
They need a win.
The nightcap. Boy, what a nightcap. We just get nightcap upon nightcap. Nebraska, Maryland.
That's who we have. We both predicted.
We both have that.
Nebraska to play Maryland. And while I hate doing this, I think it's the right pick. I think Maryland wins and moves on.
Nope. Nebraska. I'm sticking with them.
Homer Hooks.
I don't care. I'm sticking with them. Two-time.
Homer Hooks
Two-time.
Is back.
I'm back. So then you get into Friday, 11 o'clock. I have Michigan-Purdue.
So do I.
I'm taking Purdue.
So am I.
I think Purdue prevails in that one. But the Michigan win, interesting enough, I was just looking at bracketology. Right now, Joe Lunardi has them on the next four out line.
Oh, interesting.
Next four out. Will it be enough? Will they have to get that win? We don't know. The next game, you have Wisconsin-Michigan State. I have Ohio State-Michigan State.
And I'm going to take Michigan State to beat Wisconsin.
I have Michigan State there, too.
Okay. All right.
To beat there. Illinois. I have Illinois. You have Penn State. Take it on the Wildcats.
Northwestern.
Northwestern.
I got to take Northwestern. I think they are playing the best basketball out of any team. And, yeah, I got them beating Penn
Interesting
State.
Interesting enough, I have Northwestern, Illinois, and I'm going to take the Wildcats as well.
Okay.
Wildcats advance.
All right.
You have Maryland, Indiana. I have Nebraska, Indiana. I can tell you I have Indiana moving on no matter what in this game.
I've said on the show all year I haven't really been a big Indiana guy. I haven't really been impressed with them. So I'm going to go Maryland over Indiana. So I got Maryland in the semis.
All right, in the semifinals on Saturday. Boy, long tournament. Saturday of the 11th. We have both at Purdue, Michigan State.
Yep.
I have Purdue moving on. I think Purdue's in the final. Against this team. I think Purdue is way too much for Michigan State.
I'm going to go with Michigan State.
Okay.
I got Michigan State beating Purdue. I think Michigan State's a good team. Purdue is too. And, you know, this pick really doesn't make sense because Michigan State played Purdue once, and I think they lost by like 16 points. It was a blowout. So, I don't know. I just think Michigan Izzo's going to have this team going. I think they're going to be in early tournament time.
Oh, you're taking them in the finals.
Yeah, I'm taking them to the finals.
Northwestern, Indiana. But you have Maryland, right?
I have Northwestern versus Maryland.
I have Northwestern, Indiana. I have Indiana going to the finals.
Wow.
Against Purdue.
Wow. I have Northwestern beating Maryland and going to the finals.
Okay, so your final is Michigan State, Northwestern.
And I'm going Northwestern. Northwestern is my Big Ten tournament champion.
Big Ten tournament. Wow. Yeah. You've been high on them all year long, so I'm not going to knock you for that. You've been high on that. Purdue, Indiana in the final, which be epic in that state right there. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe this is Indiana. Indiana wins the Big Ten tournament.
Why? Why are you on Indiana?
I really like Indiana's style of play. I like what they've done defensively. and they just have really good play. I just think they're good. I think they're the better defensive team in this matchup. And I haven't even looked and see if what their history has been this year. That was a quick, let's go look at it. Let's take a peek. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Hey, I'm not judging.
No, we
can't. Both have some upsets.
Judge. Let's just
see. And that's what we said. The Big Ten tournament always has upsets. Always.
They lost Indiana last time they played. I'm just looking. I just didn't know that. Well, they've lost Indiana twice this year. Purdue?
I just tweeted out my bracket.
Okay, I'll get mine out there as well. We'll tweet them both out. You can see us, laugh at us, all the good stuff. Yeah, so there you go. Well, that Gary, I appreciate your tweet. Welcome back, Gary. I got a tweet from
is that,
Gary.
Is that Packer,
Packer Gary?
Oh, Packer
you
Gary.
Read, can I read this one?
I don't care.
I've been away from radio for a bit. I come back, and you guys aren't on at 9. WTF, I'm not happy. You guys are awesome and deserve to be on from 9-11. Let's take a break right now. We'll come back with Brian Monson, HuskerLine.com. Back in the morning hookup Tuesday, baby. Having a great day. Hope you guys are as well out there. Let's bring on our guy, Brian Monson, HuskerOnline.com. Brian, happy Tuesday.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Nothing much. I feel like when we start, we got like theme songs for everybody now, especially you, that I let it play a little long because I feel like you needed like just to get it in. You like sing a little bit, and it just like it gets our signal to a great start.
I am going to be very embarrassed the minute you guys click over and I'm live and you hear my voice and I'm grooving to some Huey Lewis, man. That's going to be quite the way to begin a segment. Trust me. Yeah.
I feel like, just with Nebraska fans, I feel like that we need to find a happy place because, and again, as we start this segment off, because it's always the update of the best quarterback out there, the roller coaster of emotions that Nebraska fans must be going through after Dylan visited USC has got to be at its all-time high.
Well, and you know, it's so interesting because I took it over to the board yesterday because the national guys on three reached out to me yesterday morning and they wanted to kind of take a poll across all the teams that seem to be in consideration for Dylan Raiola and get kind of our two cents and our prediction. I'm like, oh, why do I have to make this prediction in March? Because it's like this thing moves so much. Nebraska fans felt so good at the end of February when he shows up during the dead period. He gets acknowledged at PBA and the place is going wild and everybody's like, yeah, you know, he shows up a month ahead. Then it's all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. Now he's going to USC, and oh, yeah, he's going to Athens the week before Nebraska. It came to a screeching halt. And unfortunately, this is exactly what's going to happen. I told everybody last year with Malachi Coleman, like, hey, look, get used to being uncomfortable. Well, you're really, really, really going to have to do that this year with Raiola, unfortunately. You know, still a consensus number one player in the country, number one quarterback. And, you know, I think very easily the most important player on Nebraska's board. And he's the number one player on several schools' boards. It's not – nothing here is going to be easy. It was very – I did make the prediction that I felt like Nebraska was in a good spot for a number of reasons with him. But I think, honestly, I think it's too early to come to a lot of conclusions here with him. And I think people are just going to have to kind of understand that every visit is going to, it's going to influence sways of emotion and predictions and crystal balls. And the RPM on three as a result is going to get influenced by all of that. It swung very dramatically, you know, over the last week or so. It went from, like, I think Georgia was like 33%, Nebraska was 24%. Now I think USC is leading. This thing is just going to go back and forth, you know, until something actually happens with the decision.
We're talking to Brian Monson. So with him coming to town here in a few weeks, I mean, that's important then. I mean, when do you expect it? Because I've heard a lot of people guess, you know, oh, he's going to commit when he comes on that visit here in a few weeks. I mean, how big is this visit then with USC now doing their thing?
It's huge. You know, I think the biggest part about, you know, the things that we're not even talking about, haven't talked about yet, is that he's chatting with multiple players, you know, that'll be there that weekend with him. You know, he's reached out to Carter Nelson. He's reached out to Isaiah McMorris. Both of those two guys, Carter Nelson and Isaiah McMorris, also showed up surprisingly in Lincoln in the last week. So that's another reason to kind of feel good about stuff. But I think the timing for Raiola isn't quite as defined maybe as what the list of 3-4 schools kind of are, you know, that are kind of in the picture for him. I kind of feel a May to early June kind of thing, because I think what Raiola understands is that he is going to have an influence on the visitors that are going to decide to come to that school during the month of June, during the summer. So you're going to want to get things out of the way to where you kind of have a decision made and announced, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, the players that you have been talking to, you know, maybe they haven't set up that fourth or that fifth official visit. Now all of a sudden Nebraska or whomever gets rocketed to the top of the next round of visits that get scheduled for them. And of course I think that he would want to play a part with probably coming back and doing, you know, an unofficial visit during one or two of those weekends that as the month of June kind of plays out. That would be like ideal circumstances would be that. You call your shot late May, early June, you have 2 to 3 weeks in June, you know, preferably all four, but at least 2 or 3 to where you can get guys together and coordinate official visit weekends. And obviously, you know, his father has got the ability to afford, you know, a last minute flight out of Arizona into Omaha late at night, you know, to come in for an unofficial visit weekend. I think the same thing could probably be said again if you planned it out a little bit more over a couple of weekends, if that's what you want to do. But, I mean, that's I think, the ideal kind of timeline. We'll have to see what Dylan does. But I think that they're very well aware that they're going to play a big influence on a month of June, regardless of wherever he goes.
Hey, Brian, let's talk about that junior day coming up. Obviously, it's a massive list of the who's who coming to visit campus. You know, and let's talk about what it looks like from that perspective. And also, Coach Rhule is I think any head coach, but we're, you know, talking about Coach Rhule and his staff in this situation, because it's a delicate balance. And I know he alluded to this about rolling out the red carpet for certain people, but he's like, nah, we're going to roll this out for everybody. And talk about what that unique balance is like, because obviously you got Raiola, but you got a lot of other good characters in town.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of things. Gosh, I mean, that's opening up a big bag of thoughts here with me with what Rhule said on Monday. So many things that he said that were eye opening about, like, look, we're not gonna get lost on the guys we don't get. We're gonna get caught up on the guys that are here. We're not gonna do this. We're gonna do that. I thought there were so many great thoughts. He's such a very well thought out and very well carefully spoken person. I think people are really gonna develop, if they haven't already, a real affinity for him when it comes to how he takes to the podium and how he gets a message across and how he is very well prepared. He's incredibly polished, and I thought there was really good stuff there in Monday's conversation. But the list on March 25th, you know, we just continue to add names to it. I mean, we've over the last, you know, week or so, we have added Caleb Benning. We have added Ricky Sunrin. We have added Gage Ginther, Michael Boganowski, who's another linebacker out of Kansas. So you've got a bunch of really high kind of 3 stars, guys that I would say Nebraska is in their top 3 to 4 kind of things. But there are some guys here that I think that, you know, while it's being missed, I think a little bit how important they are, or maybe some things about their athleticism that, you know, I think what really stands out to Nebraska when it comes to them as players. You know, I get stuck with like a guy like Gatlin Bear, who's a big wide receiver out of Idaho, number one player in Idaho. And he's got some incredible dunks on Twitter where he's out there showing off his athleticism. And there's a guy, Thomas Heiberger. Thomas Heiberger yesterday or the day before released, you know, that he was at some camp. I think he jumped like 39 inches. This is a 6'4", 205-pound linebacker. So there's some real dudes that are coming in. But I think what people will really appreciate, you know, when they get over to On3, they go up to the football recruiting, and they find the visits, go find the March 25th weekend and realize, you know, that's the 2024 class. You can kind of dive into all the 25 and 26 stuff because there's some stuff, there's some guys that are coming in for other years. But I think what they will appreciate from the 2024 guys are a lot of skill position guys and a lot of beef up front. There's a lot of offensive linemen coming in that weekend. There's a lot of defensive linemen coming in that weekend. So I think people will really appreciate that.
We're talking to Brian Munson. Brian, yesterday we heard from Coach Rhule and tight end Thomas Fedoni. It's been how many years? Three since we've since Fedoni got to campus, I think, and we have yet to see him. And a lot of fans are really excited to see what he could bring this year. You know, it sounds like he's healthy. Kind of remind us what kind of player Fedoni is and how we benefit him coming back.
I will tell you this, and I have not listened to Chief Borders' press conference from yesterday, so please don't ask me about that because I'm embarrassed. I enjoyed talking to Chief so much through the month of January. I should have listened to that by now, but I have listened to Fedoni, and I will tell you this. That dude hasn't changed a bit. When it comes to his confidence, when it comes to the tone in his voice, when it comes to, suffering two completely catastrophic knee injuries, his optimism, his view, his the lens that he had about those being terrible, awful physical therapy, get you back, you know, on the football field, but he saw them in a different light about, these are the things that people hate to do. These are things I have to do. These are the things that are going to make me better. These are the things that are going to come back and make me realize that I can get back on the football field. I think he had some really enlightening things to say where he talked about, yeah, I mean, how do you not think about the transfer portal at least a little bit with all the changes that he's been through, losing Coach Becton, losing the other part of the coaching staff, you know, maybe losing some direction, not having the type of impact at Nebraska so far that he wished that he had had. But now all of a sudden it's like he's been elevated to this this kind of tapped leadership thing, and he hasn't let anybody down. He hasn't let down the coaching staff. He hasn't let down his team. He's gotten really good, you know, praise from guys that have moved on from Nebraska, like Vokolek, and have told him, you got the stuff, kid. You know, you just need to apply it. We need to get healthy, have a little bit better luck. I was incredibly happy to hear how confident that kid still is, to hear where his head is still at. That headspace around the metal side of injuries is something obviously that doesn't come along with your physical capabilities after you get things repaired and after you come out of physical therapy. It moves at different speeds. It's not aligned all the time. So for that to be there still leading him through the physical side of it, I would even say, it's a great, great thing for Nebraska and Nebraska fans to know where he's kind of at. You may not see a whole lot of him this spring. That's going to be by design, but I think that Nebraska fans are going to be very excited to see him in the fall.
Again, we're talking to Brian Munson, Huskerline.com. Brian, what do you make of also Coach Rhule talked about a winter, they have a depth chart, like going into spring practice. I think that's super interesting. Obviously, when you look at, there's got to be some roster attrition. We know that. That'll happen based on the number of scholarships here and there. But what do you think about that? I don't know if we've ever been told that. Maybe it's happened before. But him being that transparent, that honest, I think is going to be create some good battles in the spring.
Well, it means that they're doing their jobs. I mean, look, there was a, I'm let you guys behind the curtain here a little bit from what I've been told, but when the previous staff transitioned out, they had to go back and reevaluate the current roster. That had to be turned into the new coaching staff, and it basically had all the information about the current roster, and it was for them to kind of, you know, take it or leave it kind of thing. But then, you know, that staff got a chance to put on practice film. That staff got a chance to go back and watch some of those guys from the limited amount of film that some of those guys had, you know, when it comes to guys that haven't got on the field, and maybe there were some discouraging remarks about their evaluation or whatever. So they had a chance to go out there and take it with a grain of salt, go look for themselves. And then they've put these things in front of them, like mat drills and, you know, these off-campus things, and really trying to figure out, again, where their heads are kind of at. How much have you really bought into this thing, and how much maybe has the new coaching staff stood in the way of you kind of staying connected to the football team? I think it's fantastic. You already saw in a lot of different ways a depth chart when it came to the clips that you guys were seeing on the mat drills out there on social media. When you saw the first guys were in black and the second guys were in white, then you had kind of a red jersey and I think a gray jersey, and I may be mixing up some of the colors. That's a depth chart. That was a depth chart of players, and it didn't matter like what position you were kind of at. It really came down to the guys that were kind of leading when it came to the mat chart, doing it in a certain way. That's an individual drill, but really that was still kind of a group graded activity. So they look at it way differently than I think what people are kind of saying and feeling, you know, like Oklahoma drill, it's man on man. Now you've got eight guys or whatever it was going at the same time on a mat drill. They want that to be like, you know, coordinated. They want everybody to kind of be doing and moving and doing the things the same way. They want everybody to kind of be connected at the hip. And those guys that are in those black jerseys are leading the way, showing the guys behind them how that stuff needs to be done. That's your depth chart. That's the way things are kind of looking. Now that you've kind of gotten through the movements, now you've gotten kind of through the conditioning side, it's what Matt Rhule had said. Now I got to get him out on the football field and see which one of those guys can now play the game of football. So now I think you're going to see some adjustments again based on, hey, this guy's doing all these things right, but it really hasn't translated very well to here. He's still behind, but this guy really stands out to me on the football field. There's going to be some other movements here very, very quickly.
Hey, Brian, also before we get you out of here, and I'm totally honest with myself, when I saw Trey Palmer run his 40 time, what would be the difference in time between yours and his? Obviously different athletes, but I know what mine would be, and it would be a lot slower than Trey Palmer.
I think he would finish before I got out of the block. I mean, I'm literally coming out from a blown out back from Thursday night from lifting earlier in the day. So I know that if he would have tested on Saturday and I had to test on Saturday, I don't think I could have got out of the blocks. Number one, number two, even if I could, I think he could have spotted me, I want to say 33 yards,
and
probably still would have been, it'd been very, very close there at the end. But that was great stuff to see from him. I loved the go route clip where catching him in stride going down the field. Looked amazing. Had a couple of drops, but you know, didn't let that phase him too much. His biggest thing for him is he's going to find a team that's somewhere down there, that lower part of round one, hopefully the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
And they're gonna add a guy that can bring another speed element to their roster and free up some other guys that maybe have a little bit more dependable hands, more possession guys. But that guy right there, that is a big home run hitter that I'm sure a lot of NFL franchises are aware of.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, man, we appreciate you, man. Good stuff. And we appreciate everything you do for us and hanging out with us, man. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you real soon.
Have a great rest of the week, guys. We'll talk soon.
Dude, see you, Brian.
Brian Munson, HuskerLane.com. Right there. Always good stuff. And Brian, you can go check all this stuff out on the On3 site for Nebraska. So, hey, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to keep the theme rolling Husker football and see what Coach Rhule and Thomas Fedoni had to say.
Ooh, I like it like that. She working that back. I don't know how to act. Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. Moving slow motion for me. Ooh, I like it like that. She
welcome back in the morning, Huck. Happy Tuesday. Special thanks here to Brian Munson, HuskerLane.com, hanging out with us. Let's go to the phones right quick. One of their OGs, Gary Jerry. Gary Jerry, what's up, my man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Living the dream.
I was just telling Will, I don't like 1 hour, but real quick, yeah. Did the women get invited to the women's NIT?
Don't know yet. I've not seen anything on that yet.
I haven't either, and I was a little surprised about that.
Yeah, disappointing end of their season, though, wasn't it?
It really was. That was sad. Hey, and we have do we not have a really good catcher this year?
We do. We do. We do.
This kid is phenomenal. I was watching him the other day. I was at the game, a Vanderbilt game.
Yep.
And he's such a good receiver. He's gonna do well. He's gonna get a lot of strikes for our pitchers.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun to watch if they continue to develop for sure.
Yeah, and anyway, to football, I have a question: is this Raiola? Is he for sure? Are they still just looking?
What do you mean?
Well, is he committed to come here?
No. No, he's committed nowhere yet. He's making visits. He's making all his officials right now.
That's why this is such
a gamut of emotions. It was Georgia when he went to Georgia. It was Nebraska when he showed up here the other day. And then now it's USC. It's going to take a while, but Nebraska fans have to just take a deep breath and relax.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Okay, hey, you guys have a good day, and I'll talk to you later.
See you, Jerry. Good stuff.
So real quick, we don't have much time in this segment.
We don't.
But Matt Rhule, he was at the podium.
He was. And I agree with Brian. He's so polished when he speaks. I love listening to him speak.
I have a ton of cuts.
Yeah, let's play a couple. We play some tomorrow, too.
Let me see what we have here. Well, I mean, Rhule was thanking the fans a lot.
Well, the dude has been out everywhere, and I think he's such a noticeable character right now.
Right.
Out there.
Well, if you've
and he's taking the time as well.
If you've ever wondered what they do during the winter, this is what Rhule said he wants to get done.
We came into the offseason feeling like we wanted to build strength and mobility. I think we have. We're feeling like we wanted to learn the process and that we're going to undertake and wanting to build a sense of brotherhood amongst the team. I think we've made a lot of steps in that direction. I think now it's just time to really that process, take that over into football. You know, in our program, practice is everything. It's the most important thing that we do. And, whereas people focus on the results, we try to focus on things we can control, which is the way that we practice, the attention to detail. And what I'm finding with this team is they're highly, highly, highly competitive, but sometimes the small details, as do with most 18 to 22-year-olds, they get away from us a little bit. So can we take our sense of competitiveness, our toughness? This is a tough group. Can we take that competitiveness and that toughness and carry it over onto the football field and also add in precision and detail? If we can be really competitive and tough but also detailed and precise, we have a chance. And so I'm anxious to start that process on the football field with the guys. And then I think it's just for each, our job is to help each player find a way to get on the field and be in the right position. So try to teach those guys as best we can.
I think two things stick out to me in that entire quote. Mobility, talking about the offensive line a lot and the defensive line. You can be big, fast, strong, but, man, you got to be able to move. We watched that line not be able to move a lot in the last few years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And detailed and precise. That's the other part.
Yeah.
The stupid penalties, the mistakes. And that's, I think, what he's going to. It's the detail and the discipline and the preciseness of your actions.
Yeah, I'm just happy to hear him not – make it sound like everything's peaches.
No, stuff gets away from their kids, right?
Yeah.
They got a long way to go.
Uh-huh.
All they've been doing is working out and getting the process, the system going right now. So, and I love that he's saying, I got to get it to the football to see if it translates.
Exactly right. He did talk a little bit about Casey Thompson.
I don't know that yet. I mean, I think we're hoping that he'll be able to throw, but he'll be pretty limited. I don't see him. And we'll err on the side of caution with all these guys, right? But I don't see him being able to do very much other than potentially at some point being able to throw.
Which is something you said, by the way. I think you said that he was probably not – we're not going to see him.
You won't see him a lot.
Game.
You will not see him in the game. He's going to be a lot like Thomas Fedoni. Always err on the cautious side of bringing kids back from injury.
And we always wonder how physical the spring will be.
Physical. It'll be physical.
Done.
Simple
answer. Physical.
Physical. It'll be physical.
Love that.
And then Fedoni talked a little bit.
I love Munson, this kid, his mentality, like, can you imagine being a kid that's got an ACL tear back-to-back, no one tight end coming out, you've tore your knee up twice, and to be able to come up and sit in front of people and your mindset, your psyche hasn't changed?
Oh, yeah. I could have played last year. There was times where I was they wanted me to play, and I was getting kind of yelled down the sideline for not being able to play last year because I couldn't, I wasn't, you know, medically released, which is probably the best decision in the long run. But if they had told me to suit up and play, I'd have been out there.
It's a dog.
Interesting.
I'm a dog.
Get in there. I'm hurt.
I'm hurt. They won't let me, but I'm good.
Exactly.
Put me in, coach.
No, it's good to hear it from a guy like Fedotti. And, you know, everybody's excited to see what he could do. And, you know, with him and that Garrett that came in for the transfer from Georgia, the tight end room is looking really scary.
Yeah. He just possesses that type of leadership skill that is tough to find.
Right.
Team first on that side. So, yeah. All right, we'll have more tomorrow on some more quotes from those guys as well. But let's take another break, and we'll come back on what we missed. Welcome back in the Morning Hookups. Final few minutes of our fastest, best hour in sports here in town. How about that? And we're going to rock it with what we missed.
The stories we missed. The Morning Hookup.
Here's what you got. We got a lot of NFL to snap through real quick. The Jets have had conversations with the Green Bay Packers and with quarterback Aaron Rodgers this week regarding a potential trade for the fourth-time MVP to the Jets.
Let's assume this happens. And, you know, the other team that was maybe in on Rodgers were the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think this is a big loss if the Raiders do not get Rodgers.
I think so, too. But
they're a team that needs to get Rodgers, because if they don't,
maybe that's not where he wants to go. He hasn't even announced yet, by the way, what his intentions are.
Listen, he's going to play. Just get that out of your mind. He's not going to retire. He's going to play. But if I'm the Raiders, I'm thinking, well, if he goes to New York, what are we going to do? What are we going to be stuck with Stidham? You can't. You just can't. Like, what are you going to do? You're screwed.
Sure. Love it.
I've always said Taylor Heineke wouldn't be a bad option. He's cheaper, too, and I don't know if the Raiders are into spending a lot of money right now. So, yeah. I think Heineke is the move.
Yeah, quarterback business is picking up right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. And then we had Derek Carr,
woo,
who used to be with the Raiders.
Yep.
Now he's down in New Orleans.
He is, man. According to, you know, instead of the Big Apple, Derek Carr is headed to Nolens, signing a deal worth $150 million, including $100 million in guarantees. To help with the cap situation, he's getting $60 million at signing.
Oh, my God. That is dirty.
How about that?
And that's for a quarterback that I don't even think is that good.
How about that? Oh, he's a good one. He's a good one.
What now, are you talking about?
He's a good one. He had a bad year last year, but now they're going to have to address some things down there for sure.
I don't like how quickly you just said he's good. He's a good quarterback.
I think he's good. He's a good quarterback.
He's not bad. He's definitely not top.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put him. I don't even know if I'd put him top eight.
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
We're going to have to go through that. You'll have to give me eight more. Seven more better.
Okay, Pat Mahomes. All right. Josh Allen. I would probably throw Stafford up there still.
Debatable.
All right.
I'll debate that one at some point.
That might be debatable. Yeah. I would throw Lamar Jackson up there.
I'll give you that.
All right. I would throw.
You got Aaron Rodgers if he comes back. I'll give you Aaron Rodgers.
Give Aaron Rodgers up there. You can't put Brady because he's out of the league now. You know, before everything, you
Justin
probably.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah, we'll throw him in there.
Okay. I'll give you him.
I would have Lawrence. I would have Trevor Lawrence over Derek Carr right now. I don't think that's a hot take. And then, I don't know. Is Derek Carr really good? Kirk Cousins.
No.
I'm out. No, come on.
I'm out.
I would honestly maybe have Kirk over Derek Carr.
I can't believe you put this quarterback, who also signed another big-time deal Monday night. Geno Smith reported $105 million over 3 years with $52 million guaranteed. Smith's new deal has a base value of $25 per season with a $40 million guaranteed at signing. He'll earn $28 million the first year and $30 million in incentives.
Good for
Geno
him.
Geno Smith back in Seattle.
You know, not many players get a second chance in this league, and he did, and he capitalized. He had a good year, and, you know, that's worth it. You know, I know maybe it's too much money for a guy like Geno, but, you know, he got him to the playoffs.
He did. He had a great year.
Yeah.
A great year.
So I'm cool with that.
The Ravens are also saying right now that talks with Lamar Jackson are going to go up until the Tuesday deadline before placing the franchise tag possibly on Lamar Jackson.
Are they going to get a deal done?
It's going to be interesting.
I think they do.
It's going to be interesting.
Although Lamar is going to want a lot of money.
There's also another player. Didn't somebody get reinstated, Will?
Yeah, Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver for the – where's he at now?
Atlanta?
No. He's not there.
No, not Atlanta. He was gone from Atlanta. See, I forget where he
is. In Jacksonville now?
Maybe.
Anyways, he got suspended for gambling on games, yeah. And now he's back.
He's back. There's a lot of NFL stuff out there. There's more. You can look up Joe Mixon's story. Giannis did not get a triple-double. They rescinded that little fake rebound last night, so I think that's humorous. So, all right, from Will and I in the morning hookup on a Tuesday. Tomorrow, Robin, wash it. It'll be hump day. Can't wait to hear you.